Good morning. Today is Friday, the 19th of March. Joining us this morning is Arcata Police Chief Brian Ahern. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Here we are, Friday. It's sunny, and you're smiling.
Absolutely. March Madness is here.
Yeah. Are you following that at all?
Absolutely.
Do you? You know, with all this goofiness the last little bit, it's like, I know Gonzaga is undefeated, and I know Duke didn't make it. Beyond that, and the Pac-10's got four teams in it.
Yeah, and UCLA won in overtime last night, so I didn't go 0 for 4 on the first day of my bracket. So I'm pretty excited this morning. Yeah.
The lone survivor.
Yeah.
Oh, all righty. Are you ready for our why do we ever wonder why here?
I'm ready to have no clue. Absolutely.
Good. Well, that's kind of where most of us are. Yeah. Ever wonder why the letters in traffic signs painted directly on the pavement are so large?
To be very visible.
The letters have to be this large in order to be readable by approaching motorists. Motorists must be able to read the signs at a distance of 50 feet or more and at an angle of 20 degrees. And we thought that ADA stuff was specific. When these letters are viewed under these conditions, they appear to be normal size and are perfectly readable. To see this effect... Oh, okay. They did a little sample here in the book, and it's tough to read now. Flatten it out.
Oh, wow. Look at that.
We had a little visual aid here. Hey, see everybody?
Makes sense.
Oh. Oh, yeah. I like the crosswalks now that instead of have the stripe, mm-hmm. have the series of stripes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It looks like it probably cuts down on the amount of painting you have to do.
Well, and I think
significantly.
And the goal there is to make it more visible, to really highlight to the motorists coming up.
The contrast.
Right. There's people that are crossing the street, so please be cautious.
Yeah. Maybe during areas that have crosswalks and maybe during areas where they just kind of feel like running. I saw a couple of those on Myrtle yesterday. Mm-hmm. It's like, are you kidding me? A little rain? Yeah, and you're doing it 50 yards from a crosswalk. The other one was 20 feet from a crosswalk.
Yeah.
Really? You're in that much of a hurry. And then they walked past the crosswalk anyway because I was at the stop sign. It's like, jeez. I don't know. Do you think, are we that lazy or are we that
much in a
self-centered?
Hurry, do you think? People are in a hurry. You know, they have a lot to do and only so much time to do it. And so I think people look for shortcuts at times, unfortunately. And you know what, Brian, it can happen even if you're following the rules. You know, you could get injured by someone, maybe someone else who's not paying attention. So there's always risk involved, and I think people understand that, and there's a certain amount of risk that they're willing to take. And my hope is that, A, they don't take the risk, but if they do, is that they do it safely.
Yeah, there seems to be so much more distractions now. I can remember, wasn't it motor vehicle code at one point that you couldn't have earplugs when you were driving because you couldn't, in theory, then hear any approaching emergency vehicles? Is that still the case?
Well, I think, you know, technology does have an effect on how our laws are interpreted and how laws are changed. And so while there still are laws that, you know, regulate how much of a distraction is allowed, I think sometimes, people are going to exceed that. And so, the laws are there for a reason, obviously. And I think, you know, quite frankly, many people, you know, let's just take the vehicle code, for example. It's voluminous. So unless you've been stopped or educated specifically on a section of the vehicle code, you may not, in fact, know that you can't have certain elements and certain instruments in your car because they do create too much of a distraction.
I remember Dave Douglas when he was I still remember Dave Douglas. I remember when Police Chief Dave Douglas had said, you know, and it's illegal to watch video when you're driving. Yeah, what? He said that there, I guess at one point, it was kind of trendy to have those portable video, it wasn't VHS, but whatever they were, probably CDs, on the dashboard in front of the passenger,
yeah.
and they would be watching videos as they were driving down the street.
Yeah, not a good idea. Not a good idea.
No, there's so much reality out there that really is begging for your attention rather than this other thing. There's got to be stories that cops have got about, are you kidding me?
Yeah, well, there's the laws, you know, but there's also, you know, the reality of it. And that is there's so many more vehicles on the streets and because like we talked about earlier, people are in a rush. So they're driving faster. There's so many more distractions, really, that it really does beg the question, shouldn't we sort of be backing off on the speed and the number of distractions? Because it really has reached a point to where you have to pay very close attention, you know, to the road. Otherwise, you know, you're being vulnerable to injury or injuring somebody else.
What does it take? I know we most often will experience a speed limit being bumped up 5 miles an hour. What would it take to take it down 5 miles an hour? Instead of a 35 zone, you take it to 30. I have fun driving on Harrison out here by the station. Or for most folks, it's what's in front of the hospitals, right? General and St. Joe's.
Yeah.
And it's posted at 35. I'll go 30. Just what difference, right? Yeah. I mean, you're going a quarter of a mile, there's no difference. Boy, does that torque some people off.
It does.
I mean, it really is interesting to see. And then blowing through reds also is a whole other thing. But what would it take to reduce the speed limit, let's say in town? I don't know, what's Arcata posted, 30?
For the most part, we're 25.
25?
I mean, there are certain pockets, you know, where it's 35.
Okay.
For the most part, we're 25. It really does boil down to, you know, your local elected officials. Obviously.
Oh, it's an election rather than anything else.
It's a piece of legislation that could be modified. You know, go statewide or even on the interstate system federally, it would have to take, you know, legislation at the appropriate level to make those kinds of
changes. Well, that's the threat of losing funding. You know that. I mean, Montana was at 80, right? And now they're back down because they wanted federal dollars. But I was saying in local jurisdictions, you know, if we wanted in Eureka to take H not to 35 but down to 30, what does that take? Yeah. Oh, I guess we'll have to contemplate on that one during the break.
Absolutely.
It's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music. ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio. Easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music. Easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Brian Ahern from the city of Arcata, the top cop.
Well, one of many. We have a great organization, a wonderful family. We work for a great city. We've got so much support at the council and the city manager level. It really does. It takes all of us, Brian. We got a great community. Everybody's all in. And so I just get to, you know, sort of stand by and watch all of it happen, and it's a thrill.
I do that too, but then I need the explanation. Oh, that's why you guys are. Oh, okay, good. That means we're on the air. Good. Okay, we'll move on. Oh, gee, are you seeing any trends in Arcata now? I know there's been a lot of change with some of the. You know, can the restaurant do this? Can the restaurant not do that? Can this retail do this, not do that? Turnover, all those types of things. You know, we see it from a consumer point of view or a business operator point of view. And I know you're really not code enforcement, but you kind of sort of are.
Mm-hmm.
How have the changes been processed?
Well, I think having a new council on board, sort of a fresh set of eyes, a new perspective. We're already seeing a difference in terms of, you know, the goal setting process, and to have a council really identify five core areas in which to set their goals and to identify, I mean, really some significant neighborhood issues. You know, that's really what's trending is we're becoming, not to say past councils were not, but it's just been, it has struck me this time around that, you know, in addition to the global issues that are so important to our city and to our region, there seems to be sort of a fresh look at some of the impacts, let's say, of criminal justice reform and how that's impacting local neighborhoods. You know, I'll give you a quick example.
Well, it's cool that there's a focus on neighborhoods, too. And I just to kind of echo what you were saying, you know, past councils had different challenges. You know, you can't go back 5 years ago and say, hey, how come you guys didn't take care of? Well, because we were taking care of this.
Right.
That was the big flame at the time. So the fact that they're looking at neighborhood-specific issues, that's kind of, I mean, that's why you have representatives from each neighborhood.
Sure. Yeah. And other councils did as well. But I guess it's out of the gate, you know, with three of five new council members right out of the gate. You know, there's a focus, again, globally, but also on neighborhoods. And quite frankly, you know, neighborhoods need support in Arcata, just like anywhere else in our country. You know, a quick example, you know, we do a lot of data analysis, and you could say that between, you know, from the start of 2021 till now, compared to 2020, we have almost 10% fewer incidents reported to the police. So the casual observer may say, hey, that's a good thing. You're needed 10% less of the time.
But depending on what the reports are that are coming in.
49% more thefts, despite 10% less incidents. So to me, that's striking. And to know that our council and our city leadership is focusing on neighborhoods and really trying to listen and respond with a plan that will bring some relief, yet still serve those who are in need. You know, those who...
Now, by theft, is that good old-fashioned burglary?
Burglaries, larcenies, you know, thefts from a car. If you're sitting at a bus stop and you put your cell phone beside you and somebody comes by and takes it, bicycle theft. So, yeah, I did encompass
so little guys
thefts,
as well as big guys.
Everything, yeah, okay. Right. Which really speaks volumes about, you know, where we're at as a state from a sort of a criminal justice perspective. How do you manage that?
Because, well, particularly when these bad guys doing this, no, they're not going to be going to the Humboldt Hilton.
Correct.
Yeah, I mean, that maybe it's time for you guys to reopen a couple of the holding cells.
Well, again, you know, we
just
we
for
have to,
some kind of opportunity.
Right, and I'm glad that in Arcata that we're paying attention to those kinds of things, and I'm sure that's the case in Eureka and, you know, San Francisco and cities throughout the state. But I think where we're at is an intersection of, okay, well, if incarceration is no longer the answer and we really need to provide support and services to people who are in need, what about that small element of people who make their living by committing crime? I'm not talking about violent crime, but those who are committing these thefts and these quality of life crimes, what do we do with them? How can we get them to no longer participate in those activities? And what kinds of help are we going to be able to provide them? I really do appreciate the compassionate approach here locally and in the state. But as a police chief whose, you know, main charge is to reduce crime and improve the quality of life in my city, you know, having strategies, you know, to support that is really critical. And I see our council and our city leadership and our city manager just really focusing on those. How do we build those strategies so that we are, in fact, working together to reduce crime and improve the quality of life?
Well, I mean, I would think, you know, for the parasites, you know, I can use that. You can't, I know. You know, crimes of opportunity, things of that nature, and the lack of any repercussion. Why not? There's no, there, you know, if it's a risk-benefit equation, it's all benefit, no risk.
There's no incentive to stop.
You got to build up the risk side, and I don't know, has anybody come up with a solution that the various civil liberty folks support, that the council would support, mm-hmm. that the structure can mm-hmm. support?
Well, I think we're working toward that goal, and it really is a collective effort. So, you know, a lot of work to do still.
KINS, News and Information Time is 8:30.
Hey, community. Times are rough right now. Retail shops may be closing, but the bulk flower market is still open and moving fast. We here at Bayer can help turn your flower harvest into cash today. Call Bayer Extraction House at 707-693-2222. That's 707-693-2222. Don't miss out. It is time to sell. Bayer Extraction House, your flower selling powerhouse.
Good morning, KINS. News and Information Time is 8:20. No, it's not. It's 8:35. I don't know. I looked at the clock funny. 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Arcata Police Chief Brian Ahern. Talk shop presented by CDH Painting, Redeck, Humboldt Termite and Pest Control, Murphy's Markets, and Baywood Golf and Country Club. Brian, the challenges that are out there today, I mean, you've got everybody kind of ramped up a little bit more. You got cool thing with the council now recognizing neighborhoods. You've got issues now out in Valley West that you didn't used to have historically. Okay, you've got the commercial challenges, retail and restaurants and all that kind of stuff. Is the police department able to kind of shift priorities based on what the community interaction is? Like you were saying, theft up almost 50%, mm-hmm. total crime down. Okay. Fine. Can you pivot that quickly to deal with some of that stuff, or just kind of look at it as an anomaly until you really do have enough time to see a trend?
Yeah, no, we are constantly shifting based upon a number of factors. You know, first of all, what is?
Oh, by the way, pivot is a basketball term.
Absolutely.
Okay,
yes.
I didn't want to lose you on that one.
Great job on that. Don't lift your pivot foot, otherwise it's a turnover, right? You don't want
to
limit those.
only if there's consequences for your actions.
That's right. Well, true.
Gotcha.
True.
Bring it back to cop talk.
Yeah. the first priority is, you know, what's the will of the council? I'm fortunate in the sense that, you know, with guidance and support, there's a certain amount of delegation to the department directors to, you know, then look a little bit closer at, okay, how are understanding what the goals and the priorities of the council are and what the mission is from your city manager is. Then we start, you know, that's sort of the foundation. And then we rely upon information from community members. What kinds of things are they reporting? When we have community meetings, whether it's in person or virtually via Zoom, you know, what are those priorities? What are the expectations of community members? Because we may think as a police department that we have all of the answers, but typically what I learn is that we do not. We only know a small portion of the equation. And so
is it really risky to say that the community has expectations that the laws will be enforced?
Well,
that kind of seems like a bedrock.
Okay. Yeah, no, that's okay. Yeah, it is. But I think sometimes they don't. They may not have sort of the. They may have their own perception of what the law is, and as.
Well, rather than being knowledgeable about what the law says,
what the elements of a specific crime.
Okay.
Are. I'll give you a quick example. People when they're burglarized, they'll call us, and this is very common. They'll say, "I've been robbed." And so as we ask questions, we realize, no, they haven't been robbed. They've been burglarized. A burglary is much different than a robbery. But those two terms might be very similar to
interchangeable for most of us.
Right.
Yeah.
To a police officer, a district attorney, they're very, very different and they are managed differently. So, yes, there's goals we have for the year. And then there's projects that we have based upon things that are happening in the moment. But then, yes, Brian, priorities could shift by the week, by the month, by the day and by the time of day. And so when you have patrol sergeants that are working days, there might be some different and slightly different priorities than the patrol sergeants have for their teams working nights, because the activity is different. And it's really good to have, you know, a management team that I work with who understand that, who are really good at working with their teams to help identify those priorities and really speak for our community members when we're out there providing services.
Yeah, obviously, if you're focusing on speeding and you're in a bedroom community, the middle of the day is not when you need to have a lot of your motorcycle cops out there looking for speeding, because they're just not out there.
Right.
So I think that kind of stuff makes it. It's pretty easy for most of us to follow that kind of thing.
Yeah, and how you deploy resources based on these trends, Brian, and based on the data and based on community expectations is sort of that's the symphony part of this. And we're constantly trying to perfect that. We may never get to 100%, but we're really trying to get in the ballpark and stay there.
If there was 10% total number of incidents that were down, were there any that just kind of disappeared that you were kind of surprised by?
Nothing really stood out to me. What stood out to me was the volume of thefts.
A general settling of everything else except for that one category.
Right. And really, you know, my goal in this analysis, we just launched an online reporting system. Very, very exciting. When you look at best practices, police departments throughout the country, online reporting is very, very common. And so, you know, again, through the support of our council and our city manager, and quite frankly, my police business manager, Eileen Verbeck, really built this program with a budget that was finite. There was only so much money we could get, but we brought in a really state-of-the-art program. So I was looking at sort of our first week to 2 weeks of how much is this being used. And community members are learning about it, and they're starting to use it more and more. But it's not used for violent crime. It's typically used for theft. So one of the first cases, for example, was somebody reported having a fishing pole stolen out of their car. Okay, that is a report that can be completed online. But I was also looking at why it wasn't being used, or how much will it be used here coming up. And I was just struck by the sheer volume of theft cases. All the more reason why, you know, that online reporting system is really valuable.
What happens with that information then?
It gets put into our crime records management system. So those are true data points. They still count as a crime. And we use that data to help us deploy our resources. But what it does, Brian, is it empowers people to write the report on their terms. I was struck by that.
Not necessarily expecting an officer to be there.
Correct.
Two hours later.
If there's a suspect, if there's video, if there's evidence, we'll come out and we'll investigate it on site. But in most of these cases, there is no evidence. There are no suspects. There is no video.
The kid's bike is gone from the lawn.
Right.
Sometime overnight.
I'd rather have my officer on patrol doing traffic enforcement, responding to those priority calls, and have the community member report that stolen bike with no evidence. But again, they get to tell us the story in their terms.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:43.
The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission wants you to know that local economic development agencies, business resource organizations, financial institutions, and jurisdictions are working together to provide resources for the COVID-19 pandemic. For more information, go to northcoastsbdc.org or call the OES Business Hotline at 268-2527. 268-2527.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:47. We're back talking shop this morning with Chief Brian Ahern from the city of Arcata. Weekends typically this time of the year are pretty exciting because school's in and kids are all over the place and the weather's starting to change and watch out, baby.
Yeah.
What do you think this spring's going to be like?
I think it's going to be exciting, to be honest with you, because we've been in this pandemic for over a year now. And not to say that, you know, all the restrictions are being lifted suddenly, but, you know, we're starting to see some hope again. And so, you know, as spring, you know, blooms, my hope is that so will life as we knew it. in phases, obviously. You know, I know, you know, we have such a tremendous relationship with Humboldt State University. And, you know, it's exciting, you know, to work with their new police chief, Anthony Morgan, who just relocated from the East Coast with his family. What a great hire by
Have you told him the sun goes down where it's supposed to?
Yeah.
Instead of that funny thing that he might have been used to?
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, but to, you know, to know that there's another graduating class and that the university's working on how to honor, you know, those students. And, you know, I haven't heard anything about, you know, whether or not we're going to have, you know, or what kinds of summer recreation programs we're going to have. But I know the city will work very hard to restore, you know, as much sense of normalcy safely, you know, as we possibly can. And for our city, you know, I can't speak for the city, but for our police department family. And, you know, we haven't closed down, Brian, at all throughout this pandemic. All of our women and men have served so honorably, you know, throughout this pandemic. My hope, again, for spring is that as the restrictions lift and we continue to get really good advice from our personnel department, is that folks will be able to get back to seeing family and traveling a little bit and trying to decompress.
Barbecues on the 4th of July with small groups, only if they have their masks?
Whatever it takes to do it safely.
Oh, you saw the hook. Okay, fine. Oh, I'm done with you. Thanks for coming by, buddy.
You got it.
Oh, see us tomorrow morning.